Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Welcome on in to a Wolves midweek edition of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Thank you very much, Thunder. Appreciate that. Good to have you with us here on this Wednesday installment of the show. It's all about the Wolves today. We're going to talk a little NSU volleyball, as coming up here quarter past the hour from the bus on their way east to Mankato, battling through the thick, dense fog. It is Ava Nilsson joining us, as well as Linnea Nesheim. Looking forward to that discussion with the ladies as they travel out east to Mankato. And then towards the bottom of the hour, defensive backs coach with an array of riches, I think, at his controls this year is Jason Glasgow. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour, talk some Northern State football and take the temperature of the Wolves. And looking forward to their home opener this upcoming Saturday night at the bank. Looking to make a deposit into the win column there on Saturday against Wayne State. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobra here on a Wednesday. How are you, sir?
Doing good. How are you doing today?
Did you ever sleep too well? That was me last night. I was putting the sports together. It was like 9:30, and I was nodding off. And I'm just like, I put my head down for a second. I woke up. It was 9:52. And I'm like, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. I'll do the rest
I'm
of
done.
This. I'm tapped out. I'll do the rest of this in the morning. And then I slept too well last night. I woke up at 5. My alarm clock goes off, and I was like, all right, I got a lot of work to do from last night still yet. So got in a little extra early this morning, and I just slept too well last night. Those nights, like, hardly ever happen for me. So
yeah.
I'm kind of tired right now, to be honest with you. It's weird. I apparently function better on less sleep than more.
I feel all right this morning. I played some pickleball for the first time this summer there at the courts.
Okay.
There last night, and at the house there, we got a cold plunge. So I tried that for the first time and I gotta say, it got down to 46 degrees, and I was in there for 4 minutes. I'm proud of myself.
Oh man, that's 4 minutes too much for me.
Yeah.
Holy moly!
I felt great after though.
I hear that. You feel like a million bucks afterwards.
It was a unique experience, man.
Are you going to do it again?
I got to try it again. I might be hooked on to it. We'll have to wait and see. We got it right outside of our house. So you got it off of like Facebook Marketplace. And I haven't tried it yet because I've been terrified. And they're like, hey, you want to hop in the cold plunge after we're done pickleball? I'm like, sure, I guess. And here we are. I felt really good after. It was awesome.
It's apparently really good for blood flow and that sort of thing. And I don't know, man. It's definitely unique. I've never done it before. I'm not a big sauna guy either. I'm not a big just active guy in general, so maybe I should probably start some of these
things. I do like the sauna, too. Apparently, you know, what you can do is you go into the cold plunge, and we've talked to athletes about this before in their recovery and how important that is.
Yeah.
But you go to the cold plunge right into the sauna.
Yeah.
That would make a lot of sense. But, yeah, I did it for the first time, man, and it was definitely a unique experience. You have to just go all in. You got to be aggressive.
Yeah. No, there's no two ways about it. I used to be the first one in our lake every year when the water was about 35, 36.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no easing your way into it. You just go. It's just full on jump off the pier, go. And I was kind of part of the Polar Bear Club, kind of felt like. But yeah, it's that never gets easier.
Also, I know I understand why people are hooked with pickleball, too. Why that's such a big thing. It's fun.
Got the itch?
Yeah, I do, kind of. I wish I was playing that all summer, to be honest.
No,
I just played it, you know, yesterday for the first time. I'm like, this is super fun.
Well, now you know what you can do for the rest of the late summer here and early autumn. And you can do that inside, of course.
Yeah.
That's where it is primarily, I think. And do that all winter long there at the Y, I'm sure. So pickleball for the Cobra. Good stuff over here. All right, let's go ahead and get to the jump with my guy here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Northern State Volleyball coming up here 1:15 as we'll touch base with the ladies out there as they travel out to the Cato of Man. And they've got another slew of non-con matchups here over the next handful of days. The jump is strictly local today. Lots of high school volleyball to get to, and both teams, speaking of pickleball, holding serve, if you will, although I think you can certainly use the term serve in volleyball as well, of course, but two teams that we were kind of looking at following last night. Could both of these teams hold serve going into, I don't know if you'd call it a titanic matchup or a colossal matchup, but a really good one, a good fun rivalry between Roncalli and Groton on Thursday night. Both teams were victorious last night, starting with Roncalli. They defeated Florence Henry in straight sets, 12-12 and 17. Jillian Elwine and Grace Cogley both with 7 kills each, and Coach Lisa Ware very high on Jillian Elwine coming into the program. I think she was a transfer from Frederick, if memory serves correctly.
Yep.
And she has played and performed quite well in the very early stages of the season. Just gives that team another added element of offensive attack.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Elwine's come in and fit right into the system there of Coach Ware, and she's had some really solid performances, and Roncalli really didn't have any problems with Florence Henry there yesterday. Maybe a tune-up for this matchup on Thursday tomorrow versus Groton. That should be a dandy. We talked to Chelsea Hansen yesterday on the program, but to your point, Elwine has really played well here to start the year. She's a great athlete.
She is, very much so. And not exactly much of, to really sweat about there from Roncalli's perspective. Really kind of held serve and dominated that one, 12-12 and 17. As for that Groton squad, they had to go 4, but they took care of business over Webster. They won 19-10. They lost the third set, 26-24, and then were kind of in control of that fourth set, 25-17. You had 3 players north of double figures, Riley Dunker and Tevin Hansen, both with 12 kills there. Again, that's Tevin Hansen, coach's daughter. Kind of cool to see a freshman perform that well. And you know, she said as much during the program yesterday, it's not out of, hey, you know, she's the coach's daughter, this sort of thing. It's because of necessity. You know, she was a freshman and some players went down. She has filled in for those roles and she's done quite well. So shout out to her, Taryn Trapp, and Taryn Trapphagen also chipping in 11 terminations as well. Groton wins in 4.
Well, she said, too, that, hey, I don't think Tevin's going to lead the team in kills at the end of the year. I beg to differ from what I've been seeing.
Maybe.
Here. Another dozen for her there last night against Webster, but they had a triple threat attack there last night, and Webster battled in that third set, but Groton just a little bit too much for the match at home. But I'm interested to see, after talking to Coach Hansen and looking at these stats when we do on this show, just see where they're at by the end of the season, because they definitely have a deep team, and looking forward to that matchup tomorrow versus Roncalli.
Going to be a fun one. 7:30 on HubCityRadio.com. The Knights of Aberdeen Christian travel up to Langford. They take care of business. They win in the minimum. Ari Johnson with a match-high 9 kills there for the Knights. And we had this one circled. We talked about it yesterday. Thought it'd be very competitive, and indeed it was. And it's an A over a B. But honestly, when it comes to these two teams, the classes really don't matter. Miller defeats Warner in 5. That is the first loss of the season for the Monarchs. They won the fifth set 15-8. Miller actually got down 2 sets to 1. Paige Wirtle led the way with 11 kills, 16 digs. Emma Pugh, 10 kills, 13 digs. A pair of double-doubles there for the Rustlers in the loss. How about J.C. Jung? 16 kills, 25 digs for the Monarchs. That's just one of those, hey, someone's got to lose here. And yep. Turned out that it would be Warner. I tell you what, if both of these teams would play each other 10 times, it might be 5 apiece or 6-4 one way or the other. So a very, very impressive win for Miller there last night.
Yeah, that was a really good win. At home, you bring in a Class B powerhouse and Warner, and you get down 2-1, you face some adversity, and they were able to bounce back and win this match. And a big big time win. My guess is that was just a big time environment there. We talked to Coach DeBoer about the environment at the Miller. When you bring in a team like Warner in, you got to think the gym was juiced up, and maybe it took some time for them to get settled in, and they were able to find their groove and win this one. But you mentioned it, Warner, you know, we'll see if maybe, like we saw with Northwestern playing a Class AA team. It just doesn't matter who they play. They're always going to bring their A game, it seems like.
Yeah, they lost to Brandon Valley, Northwestern did, in a classic, 25-23 in the decisive set. So, yeah, they're going to be just fine.
That's just wild to me.
I know it. I know it. Mobridge Pollock defeated North Central last night in four. Blake Thompson, Jada Thompson with 12 kills each if you need them. Amory Vandervoorst, 10 kills, 22 digs for the Thunder in the loss. Ashley Haven, double-double, 16 and 13 kills and digs respectively. Northwestern beats up on Harriet Selby. They won the first set 25-6. Goodness. DeSmet defeats Duel in the minimum. Hazel Luthmers with 16 kills there. Ipswich over Sully Buttes in four, thanks in large part due to 22 kills from Marley Guthmiller. You had straight set sweeps for Clark Willow Lake over Wilmot, Redfield over Leola Frederick, Hitchcock Tulare over Falkton, and Highmore Herald over Sunshine Bible. GPL down to Milbank in five, 19 kills from Kate Holman there as well. Aberdeen Roncalli Tennis, they went 1-1 yesterday at the Pier Invite. They fell to the host squad 8-1. And then a basically clearing of the board over North, make it Rapid City Central. 9-0, your final score there. Individual match notes can be found on our website, hubcityradio.com. Also of note, Aberdeen Roncalli on the golf side of things after a really rough Monday, finishing in third place in Vermilion. That's a joke. They finished in first yesterday at the Milbank Poet Invite. They finished 17 strokes ahead of Warner, over Watertown, pardon me, another W school. Milbank third, Sioux Valley fourth, Sisseton in fifth place. Jonathan DeBoer of Milbank, your medalist there. Even par, Jace Johnson of Groton, a one over, good for second. Harper Schnabel finished in third place, as well as Finn Anderson. Both were five over par, 77. So good stuff there from the Cavaliers.
Yeah, I guess you could say a bounce back after their one on Monday in Vermilion. But yeah, just another day at the office, it seems like, or another day on the links for Coach Murdy and that squad. They've really played well, and you know, to be up 17 strokes ahead of Watertown, certainly impressive. And you got multiple individuals in the top three there with Finn Anderson and Harper Schnabel. You can almost just pencil them in, it seems like, each meet. It's just with how strong they play. These kids really worked hard, and we talked to Coach Murdy last week on the program. They worked really hard in the offseason, and that work is paying off now, and you just love to see it.
Matthew Gerlach in sixth, Lucas Daggett eighth, and Owen Vogel in 10th place. So a lot of good stuff there from the Roncalli Cavaliers. And as for Central on the pitch, they improved to 7-1. They were all over Rosie yesterday 4-0, while the Central girls would tie with Rosie 3 apiece. Addison Salfrank with a hat trick there in the tie. Coming up next, we're getting into the meat of our Wolves midweek. We're going to talk some Northern State volleyball. Ava Nilsson and Linnea Nesheim will be joining us live from the bus after this. It's a Wolves midweek installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. Smash that like button. Share the stream. Helps us out with the algorithm. Defensive backs coach Jason Glasgow, he'll be joining us live in studio towards the bottom of the hour. First and foremost, though, as we'll travel out east towards Mankato, that's where the Northern State volleyball squad is headed here today, and pleased to be joined on the phone line by new setter for the Northern State volleyball squad, Ava Nilsson. She joins us on the phone line. Ava, how's it going over there? How's the road?
It's going good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure for sure. Any movies all ready to start the trip off, or has everybody got their earbuds in or something like that?
It's been mostly homework for the ride today.
Ooh, that's not fun.
Nah, that's not any fun.
Yeah, I'd be getting car sick looking at my studies and what have you. So,
what's this math equation mean?
Yeah. Geometry. I'm glad I took that back in the day. Well, that's a whole other story. But congratulations on a great start to the season. You guys are sitting at 4-0 here. Nice trip down to Shadron, Nebraska here. And I'm sure we'll talk about you specifically kind of getting acclimated to the new setter role and everything. But a solid weekend for the squad out there out west, or southwest, I guess, this last weekend. From the wins perspective, how'd everything go for yourself and the squad?
It was a really good weekend, I think. We obviously came out 4-0, so that was the goal. And I feel like we had a bunch of learning curves, but at the end of the weekend, we all were very, very happy with how it went.
Yeah, and I guess it's, you know, probably pretty easier from your perspective. You know, you're learning on the fly, but also in wins, I feel like that can just help with the confidence and everything else when you're talking about learning and those kinds of things.
Yeah, for sure.
What's the deal with the Augustana deal? Every time you guys play them, it's got to go to 5 sets. Is there like something in like the contract that you guys sign at the beginning of every year that every single match with Augustana has to go to 5 or something like that? Feels that way.
It seems to be that way. I agree with you. I don't know. They're just a very physical team, and they're very competitive, and they're super fun to play always because we always know that we have to give our best because it's going to be a good matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when you play a team like Augustana, is it, you know, just a matchup thing, or is there something specifically that they do that just makes it tough? I mean, like Tuke said, every time they play you guys, it seems like it's a 5-setter.
Right. It's always a super good game. They have a very physical front row, so they're very tall and athletic. So that's always fun to work with, that we can try new things to try to get around their big block. And obviously their defense is pretty good. I feel like we just line up pretty well with them, so it always is a good matchup.
Yeah, we're typically used to talking about physicality and basketball and football and, oh, this left tackle is really physical. They got a really good defensive tackle, super physical. What's that mean in volleyball? Mm-hmm. They're a physical team in volleyball. What's that kind of look like? What's that mean?
It usually means they have a pretty strong front row, so they put up a pretty good block against our offense, and then they also can get their offense moving pretty fast, too, so they can run different routes to try to get our block in the wrong positioning.
So where do you feel like you succeed there in the beginning of the season? You were named a Player of the Week, the Army National Guard Athlete of the Week there for NSU. Where do you think you really excelled that first couple matches of the season?
I think it was super fun just being able to get assists for my hitters. Obviously, we had multiple attackers on the court at one time, given that we have a back row attack this year. So it's been super fun just being able to spread out the offense and try to get as many hitters involved as possible.
Ooh, back row attack. I like that. That's good stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing that here. And it'll be, 2 weeks from, I think, yesterday is the first home match against Jamestown.
Yep.
So that'll be a nice little change of pace. You guys are actually going to be at home for once. So
I know, right?
Looking forward to that. We're talking with Ava Nilsson here, setter for the Wolves on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm sure we'll talk about some of your Warner days here as well, but learning under Kerry Walker last year, I think Kerry was probably one of the best ones to do it. I think if you look at the stats and the numbers and the history books, it would reflect that to a certain degree. What was it like kind of learning from her?
It was awesome. She was a great player, and she was just a great person on off the court. You know, after you've been there for 6 years, she knows things that it would be super hard to learn without doing it. So she kind of really was like super, super good to learn under, because she took me under her wing and taught me things that it would take super long to learn.
And did it? My guess is somebody like her helped you with the transition from, you know, Warner to playing, you know, college volleyball as well. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it was actually funny. She was my student teacher when I was a junior in high school. So I first knew her as Miss Walker. And so then when I got to college and she was the person I got to learn from, it was kind of like a seamless transition because we already kind of had that like mentor-student relationship built already. But she was just a super good person to have like to look up to because she was super caring. She obviously knew so much about the sport of volleyball. And she was just overall just a great friend to have to look to and to ask for all the questions.
So she went from Miss Walker to then Grandma on the team, because everyone called her Grandma, because like you said, been there for 6 years, so kind of interesting how that all worked out. I think she's coaching now, I want to say in Grafton, Wisconsin, or Menominee Falls or something like that. I got to double check, but I got to follow her journey out there, out east. That's kind of where my parents live nowadays, but that's a whole other story. So was it hard redshirting? I feel like if I'm a student athlete in college, it's like I'm out there to play. I want to go. Was it tough to sit on the bench for a year, or was it something that you kind of embraced?
It was super difficult right away, but I feel like the more the season went on, the more I could just kind of look at it as through a positive standpoint, that this is a super cool opportunity to just learn as much as possible without having all the stresses that come with being like on the court actively all the time. So it was kind of nice for a year to just kind of absorb all the knowledge that I could at one point while like taking it in from a different point of view, if you know what I'm saying. But it definitely had its struggles.
So my guess is, you know, as a redshirt, we've talked to athletes before. You know, my guess is this was probably a big off season for you to to really kind of hone in on your skills and try to get better there for that next this season now. Can you talk about just that off-season work and the time you put in to get ready for this year?
Yeah, I feel like we tried to get into the gym as much as possible. Nat, one of our outsides, was in town all year, so we tried to get – or all summertime. So we tried to get a bunch of touches in and kind of tune in our tempo and how fast and how slow we want to set some sets. So that was super nice to have a bunch of touches in and just trying to get in the gym as much as possible to get those reps in all summer long.
Maybe one or two more here with Ava Nilsson on Fox Sports Aberdeen before you pass the phone over there to Linnea Nesheim. Now, I'm curious about your time at Warner. I mean, what was it like with Coach Jung? Obviously, there's a lot of, I would guess, some sort of pressure with a team that's that good, that consistent, that good all the time. What was it like being a Monarch for, you know, a handful of years there?
It was so special. Honestly, I have so many props to send to Mrs. Jung. She starts the kids in third grade, and she just kind of devotes her whole life to the sport of volleyball. So there's nothing but respect for her as far as that goes. And it's super cool to grow up in a community that everyone knows and appreciates the sport of volleyball. So it was super special to just talk to people after the game that actually knew what they were saying and just be happy for, like, the whole team and the whole community when good things happen.
So my guess is when you start at third grade, you know, you get to eighth grade, and we talk about this all the time on the program, but, you know, we hear about athletes playing varsity, eighth, ninth grade, you know, sophomores. My guess is when you got to that level, you were ready to grow, you were ready to go right away. Is that fair to say? Or?
Yeah, that's also super special about a small town because we've been playing with those same girls since third grade because we only had a very small amount of kids in our class. So by the time we got up to freshman, sophomore, junior year, it was like we were just like playing with the people that we have been playing with forever. So it was super special because we were just super natural together.
You know, it's kind of funny because I come out here and I tell people that I graduated with 498 people, and they're like, that's bigger than my town.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, it's a little bit unique in that regard. All right, Ava, appreciate you taking some time out of your morning here. Safe travels out east there to Mankato, and we'll have you pass the phone over there to Linnea if that's okay.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's our pleasure for sure. That's Ava Nilsson joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5. Jason Glasgow, he's going to be joining us towards the bottom of the hour right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen as Linnea is with us, I think. Linnea, are you with us here?
Yeah, hi.
All right, perfect. Kind of worked out very, very well here. Absolutely. You know, there was a little lag time in between. You know, sometimes people drop the phone. You never know. So I had to make sure that she was with us. But kind of the same question that I asked to Ava there a little bit. You too, much like her, a redshirt last year. How difficult is it to redshirt your freshman year? Because, you know, when you're in high school, you're ripping things up. You are ready to go freshman year of college. And the next thing you know, coach is like, you know what? We're actually going to go ahead and put the red shirt on you a little bit. Was that tough for you to kind of learn that way, or was it something that you welcomed?
Yeah, so obviously, like, coming into college, redshirting is tough, like, not being able to play for your first year. But I think at least for me, it was a great, like, learning experience, being able to save a year of eligibility while also being able to, like, kind of learn how things work. Coming into college, this is kind of a different style of volleyball than I was used to. So I think just like taking that year to like learn kind of like a different way to play was like really helpful while being able to like save a year of eligibility. So if I could go back, like I would not change it. I think taking that redshirt year was a good option.
I'm looking at this here. Wow, what a great start to the season for you. 58 kills and 4 matches, including 2 17s with Chatham State and Augustana. I mean, really impressive start to the season for you. What do you think has just worked well? Was it a good off season for you to get ready for, you know, this season? What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. I think just even last year, like just taking that redshirt year, I think I've just kind of grown a greater appreciation for playing, and like I was just ready to go. Like first game, like I was just really happy to be there, really happy to be playing with this group of girls, and they just make it so fun on the court. So they just kind of push me to play the best I can.
Did you have any, like, you know, you mentioned first match of the season. Did you have, like, any first match jitters or first weekend jitters, you know, to start the year? Or were you locked in ready to go right away?
That's a great question. I really didn't. I think, you know, I was kind of just ready. It was a year since I had played a game. So I was just ready to go, and I was just happy to be there.
I was super nervous on Saturday for the Northern USF game. I'm just going to say, like, I got there like three hours early. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to broadcast. And the next thing I know, I'm like, no, I got to chill for the next like 2.5-3 hours. So I don't know. I was a little bit nervous, but everyone's kind of different. But that maybe that's a good thing, is you're kind of calm in the storm. Have you always been kind of that way, or do you typically not get nervous for matches and what have you, or is this kind of standard operating procedure for you?
Honestly, that's not really. Like, I used to get nervous. Like, I think I've always just kind of got nervous for big games, but I think just at this point, like, I kind of just kind of got those out of the way last season, even though I didn't, was ready to play with my my teammates, and I knew that, you know, we were ready to take on these hard teams. Like, we're a really good team. We have so much talent, and I was just kind of ready, which is kind of not like me, but I mean, I loved it, so it was good.
Yeah.
How much of it is for you is just, you know, trust in the work? You know, you're a great player. You just got to, you know, trust what you've been working on, you know, off season and throughout the season.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we work so hard in practice every day. And I think we're kind of all just on the same page, especially last weekend. We were just all just kind of ready to play our hardest. So, yeah.
Linnea Nesheim joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Big bus trip here again, all the way to Mankato, as you went southwest last weekend. Now you're going straight east, pretty much. Do you like time on the bus? Are you listening to music? Are you doing homework and what have you? Or do you get a couple of naps in? Like, what does one do to kill time for you?
Well, for me, I try to sleep the whole way. So I'm kind of trying to get as much sleep as I can. So, yeah, sometimes I'll do homework, listen to music, talk with my teammates, but most of the time I'm trying to sleep.
Well, thanks a lot for taking some time to join us. I hope we're not disrupting your your nap time.
Of course, anytime.
For sure, but, you know, I want to just, you know, talk about, you know, you mentioned how well you guys played together that first week and the chemistry you guys had, you know, that first weekend and those first four matches. You know, my guess is it's just going to continue to get better as the season moves along. I was just going to say, can you talk about how the chemistry you feel like is going to get better throughout the season?
I mean, I think a huge part of just playing well is just, like, loving the people you're playing with, especially in volleyball, which is such a big team sport. And, yeah, I love these girls so much. We spend so much amount of time together every single day. So I just think, like, the bond that we have is, like, a huge part of the reason why we're together.
Well, looking forward to this weekend here, and four matches in 3 days. It's kind of spread out, a little bit of a unique schedule, but looking forward to continued success. And like Matt had said, 17 kills twice already through the first four matches in contest there. So continued success for you. And, you know, you talk about how close you are, and I would guess the fact that you redshirted last year with Ava, did you work kind of hand-in-hand with her quite a bit last year, just the fact that you guys are both redshirted together and kind of get on the same page and whatnot?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, even though we redshirted, we practiced every day together, and we kind of got a good connection going. So coming into this year, it definitely wasn't too hard to come back after summer with that connection again. So, yeah, I think last year practicing together was just really helpful.
Well, good luck this weekend, or I guess tomorrow, and then into the weekend there in Mankato. Appreciate you doing this, and good luck, and we'll see you here in a couple weeks at home.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That's our pleasure for sure. Linnea Nesheim joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Our thanks to those ladies for taking time out of their schedule and joining us as they travel out east to Mankato. Coming up next on the program, some Northern State football chats, as we'll have Jason Glasgow. He'll be joining us live in studio after this. Sports Up continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. It's a Wolves midweek installment of the show here on FSA. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. She's the Cobra. I'm Tukes. Joined in studio, Jason Glasgow. Good to see you here, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always good to come here and be able to talk with you guys and obviously talk a little bit of ball.
No doubt about it. We're talking off the air. You said 4:15 wake-up call, Frey, this morning. So how many cups of coffee are you in right now?
Oh, just one.
Just one?
Just one.
Wow.
Do you usually keep it at about one, or you go to one to two?
It's usually just one. One big mug, and then we're good to go.
So it's really like two.
Yeah, I guess you can say that.
It's like that meme.
Depends on which eyes you're looking at.
Yeah, it's like that meme where like it's like a 33-ounce beer. It's like, I only had one. Yep. It's like, yeah, not really. It's a little bit bigger than that. But, you know, we'll talk about the matchup against USF. But that's got to be cool for you because that's where you played back in the day. Was it kind of special going back home to a certain degree this last weekend?
I've been hearing about it since the summer. You know, I have a pretty good relationship with the football staff there. You know, coached against Looters ever since I was at Dakota Wesleyan. So we're running on a 12-year relationship or something like that now. And then obviously all the alumni and things like that I played football with or that I know, you know, we're talking a little bit of smack, you know, in my USF Snapchat group. They were talking about, you know, all these different things and whatever. And I was kind of feeding them things that we weren't very healthy and we were banged up going into it. So it was just it was good. But, you know, I think the craziest thing was being in the trailers because when I played there, there was no stadium there. It was just a football field and the trailers. And that's where we practiced. So it was like going back to all the times that I was at practice out there and changing in the trailers and all that kind of stuff. So I had never been in the trailers since then. So it was kind of crazy there.
Wow. Interesting. I didn't realize. Like, I didn't really look too much because that's to the right?
Yeah,
of the correct. Of the press box.
To the south side, yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. That's kind of – so things have maybe changed a little bit since
– A little bit, yeah. So everything out there is new. It was – there was no stands. There was no FCA building. There was no Sioux Falls Christian. There was – literally just a football field out there with two trailers.
Wow. Okay.
Well, you hear the cliche saying all the time in broadcasters, they say, you know, it means a little bit more for, you know, a guy maybe or a coach going back to his old stomping grounds. Did it mean a little bit more for you going into the game or not so much?
Yeah, it did. But it wasn't the first time we played USF, but it was also, you know, obviously being back in the stadium and there's a lot of people who maybe were friends who have never been to a Northern game. And so, you know, after the game, there was a lot of my friends that just were like, holy crap, you guys travel really well, better than any team that we've seen. And so they were talking about how loud our fans were on third downs and when we were making plays. And so that was kind of the cool thing is just, you know, when you're grow up in Sioux Falls, you don't really get to Aberdeen very often. It's just not, you're a Sioux Falls person, right? And so when they're able to see kind of the impact our community has, even on away games, it was kind of cool to hear them give us compliments on those types of things.
Well, that's just kind of the bummer for me is because the press box is not opened air. The windows don't open. So it was very hard for me at all to hear any crowd noise. But just visually, I mean, no disrespect to USF, but I think there might have been more Northern fans there than there were Cougars fans. They're pretty close, right?
Yeah, and so my wife, Carrie, goes to every single game. And obviously, Carly is there now, who is at Presentation College, and I was there. So
we all
know each other there. And she said that they never open up another gate for fans to get into the game. And so they opened up a gate on the east side of the field for the Northern State fans to come into the game because there were so many of them. And so it was just one of those things where they kind of recognized how many people that we had and made accommodations and all those kind of things for us. So. Mm-hmm.
So my guess is, you know, you're pretty jacked up to get those fans there at Dakota Bank Stadium this Saturday.
For sure, for sure. You know, and we can maybe talk about it a little bit later, but there's a lot of guys that are new faces to our program that haven't played a game in Dakota Bank Stadium. You know, maybe the game that we just played against USF, that's the most fans that they've played in front of. And so when they get into Dakota Bank Stadium and they feel that energy and see how it's packed in the stands and on the berm and all that kind of stuff and all the kids that are going to be outside the locker room, it's going to be a different experience and it might bring a different set of nerves just because it is a home game. So definitely excited to get in front of the home fans and be able to put on a show for them and obviously let them see the you know, the improvements that we're going to make from week one to week two.
Jason Glasgow joining us here, defensive backs coach for the Wolves of Northern State. And I always ask Mike Schmidt about his thoughts towards a night game. And it's great for the community. It's great for the student body and all that. For the coaches, do you guys like them, dislike them? I mean, you love the crowd, don't get me wrong, but it's got to be tough waiting all day for Saturday night.
The toughest part is just trying to figure out what – you don't want your guys just sitting around not doing anything all day, but you don't want to get them involved in too many things to where, you know, now when it gets to game time, maybe they're mentally fried or anything like that. But, you know, that's probably the hardest part is just, you know, the waiting game and how do you fill that time. And so, yeah, it stinks to wait to play that game. But, you know, once you strap on the pads and step in between the lines, you're pretty much ready to go. And it's just really just about managing the time before to make sure that you're not just kind of drained from having too many things on the schedule.
And talking about managing time, my guess is by the end of the year, you guys are going to be pretty good at that with the amount of night games you have this year. I mean, yeah. It might be a little bit difficult early on in the season, but by the time October and November rolls around, you guys are going to be pretty good at that.
For sure. You know, typically the night games are going to be earlier in the season and things like that. And when later in the season, you know, you maybe have a few more day games just because of the temperature, colder games, those types of things. But yeah, you hope by the end of the year, you're in a routine, your guys understand what's going on, what the schedule is, and it's just what you do. It's not, hey, what's next or what's that? You know, it's okay, we got this, we have this. They just settle into that routine.
So lots of games of Yahtzee before the game, right? Before kickoff.
Yeah, well, really, it's you know, guys watch college football. Yeah. You know, it's when you have night games, it's a little bit easier for you to watch some games during that throughout the day. And you know, for myself, you know, it's talking to DBs about, hey, let's get some mental reps while we're watching. You know, what would be a call that we're in during this game or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm just getting their minds ready for what's going to happen later.
Speaking of your DBs, on paper, I think your guys' secondary is in a really, really good spot. I mean, you've got Lorenzo Jones, Keegan Mountain, Elijah Jopp, a returning starter, new safety there with
Nelson. Kyle Thomas.
With Kyle Thomas, excuse me. But overall, you know, you've got a lot of players that have banked a lot of reps at multiple levels. What's that kind of secondary looking like, I guess, in the, not necessarily on the field, but just kind of in that secondary room?
Yeah. So, you know, even beyond that, you have, Deshaun Young, who was a starter at Chatterin. You have Andrew Ewald. You have Blake Clay, who's been around, played a lot of games and things like that. And Andrew Blazevich, who's been playing for years. You know, I would say that right now we're in a really good spot. And, you know, kind of reflecting back on the game, it's one of those things where you have your guys who are in the first group. They're in the first group for a reason. But how do you get more guys incorporated to keep your guys fresh? You know, you look at the end of the game and, you know, some of the DBs we're in bad alignment, so we don't have good pad level or we're not playing with good technique. And the goal is to have those ones. They're really good when they're at 100%, but if they're at 80% and you've been on the field for however many plays, are they better than those twos? And I think as that's one of the things that you learn from week one to week two is how do you have that healthy balance of being able to play maybe your best guys on the field, but then you have those other guys that you know can play, and getting them involved to keep your guys as fresh as long as possible. Because as you were able to see in the last game, we just maybe weren't executing. We were in the right spot. We weren't able to finish a tackle or whatever it may have been. And so it's just that finding that healthy balance of how do you get a rotation in to be playing your best ball, but also be playing your best ball as long as possible.
You already may have answered this, but what did you think from your DBs, that group, in week one versus USF?
It was fun to watch. You know, the first quarter, first half, really, you know, there were times where the quarterback really had nowhere to go with the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, we played probably more man-to-man than we've played in a long time, probably 2 years in this last game. And you have situations where we have Lorenzo Jones running on a post three straight plays in a row, you know, and I thought in that first half we did some really, really good things. And when you look back at the stats, I don't know the exact number, but really you look at the quarterback completed 20 passes, but he was 2 of 8 maybe of passes over 15 yards downfield.
A lot of bubble screens and stuff.
And so, you know, speaking of screens, that's another part where, you know, that was an emphasis for us this offseason. You think back to the Mankato game last year. They were throwing screens out there. They were getting 7, 8, 10, 12 yards. And the amount of times that they tried to test our screen execution out there and got 2 yards, 3 yards, you know, those types of situations, I think that was a big improvement for us. And especially for us to get on film for other teams not to want to do that against us.
Jason Glasgow joining us, Fox Sports Aberdeen. How jacked were you on the Keegan Mountain corner blitz?
Oh,
I got
man.
Pretty fired up for that one.
You know, it's if you, as a football coach, corner blitz from the middle of the field probably isn't the number one call that you have. You know, Coach Schmidt happened to see that they were in a condensed formation where it was still going to work. And yeah, I mean, you're hoping that the quarterback holds the ball onto the ball long enough for the DB to get there. And luckily it did and took a shot. You know, you hope that you can get a fumble out of that, a sack fumble. But, you know, I think that was a play that was really exciting, not only for us as a defense, but really for our whole entire team to be able to see that play and the type of hit that Keegan was able to get on the quarterback. Yeah, clean hit, too. So.
It was clean, very much so.
Yeah, I couldn't believe Dean didn't fumble the ball there. It's just, you know, my guess is when you're talking to these guys and they do a quarter blitz or a safety blitz, something like that, and they have a free run, you're telling your guys, hey, go after the ball and try to get a fumble there.
Yeah. You know, luckily for him, he was pretty much shielded from being able to get kind of a hand on the ball around. You'd think that the shot that he took, the jolt, would kind of lose that ball. But then he kind of fell on top of it, too. So that might have helped as well.
So was Keegan like Mr. Burns, just like, this call is coming, like, excellent?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you are a corner and you're blitzing off the edge and the quarterback's eyes and his whole back is to you looking the other way, I can't imagine there's a better feeling on the football field than seeing that, especially because if there's a corner blitz, the corners are literally waiting for however long before you call that blitz. And to have it look like that when you run it, there's no better feeling, I'm sure.
Well, I'm curious about that because with Schmidt being the defensive coordinator, you know, he's calling the plays, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously he's communicating things to you and you're communicating things to your secondary. But how do you guys get on the same page in just a short amount of time to get that play right, dialed up for the right everything? Like, how does that, I'm sure it sounds more complicated than it is, or maybe it is incredibly complicated. Like, what does that look like on that play?
You know, here's the funny thing. A lot of people say, hey, you're a college football coach. Okay, what do you do when you're not coaching? Like, people think that maybe we just show up for practice and roll the ball out there and do that, but it comes throughout the week of seeing what plays they're running on down, certain down and distances, mm-hmm. what is their protection, when does this play work for us? Also, if we run this play, what's the worst case scenario that can happen if we're running this play or this coverage or this blitz? And so it's all those things that kind of go into it. So it's really prepping that throughout the week, understanding when we get that moment, what's the best situation we can run this play, and let's increase our odds of this play being successful. Mm-hmm. But also allowing for our guys to understand, hey, if we're in a bad situation, how do we still make this play a success for us? And so that's really what it is. You see that play throughout the week, and you run it in a perfect situation, in a bad situation, and just kind of figure out, hey, is this a play call that we can run? Okay, let's go with it.
Mm-hmm. Overall, challenging day for the defense from a standpoint of on the field, entirely too long. I mean, you guys were on the field. We looked at the time of possession there on Monday. What was it, 46 minutes?
A lot to a little.
A lot to a little. I mean, that's a challenging aspect week one of the season when guys are, you know, trying to catch their wind a little bit. What was kind of the challenge from that perspective? And, you know, it's one of those things you just got to roll with the punches when you're scoring that fast.
Exactly. You know, there's a difference between being on the field a lot because you're having explosive plays versus – you're on the field a lot because you're seeing a lot of three and outs. You know, I think one of the most encouraging things that from our offense is the number of explosive plays that we had. You know, when you look in the last couple seasons, we haven't been in the top of our conference in explosive plays. And so it's kind of a double-edged sword. When you're scoring that quickly, you know, for us on our end, we have to be able to get off the field on third down. And I think that's kind of where we struggled a little bit. And it wasn't because, you know, I'll say – when you look at the film and you look at us giving up over 400 yards or 40 whatever points it was, you look at the film and you don't say, hey, this is where we want to attack this team. There's a lot of times where, like I talked about before, we're a little gassed and we're in the right position and we're not able to finish the play. And so, you know, for us, the emphasis has to be getting off the field in those situations, completing those tackles in the backfield when we had those things, mm-hmm. or tackling that guy when he's short of the line of scrimmage instead of having him break that tackle and fall forward for a couple of yards. And so, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, man, your offense must not have been doing anything. Well, mm-mm. For us, it's no, we have to get off the field. And so, again, that all goes into, you know, kind of us losing a little bit of steam at the end and you're a little bit slower. You're a little bit less focused. You don't have the correct pad level, or maybe you don't have the right leverage. And that goes into us as players being able to finish plays, but also being able to have guys out there and having them be more fresh in those situations.
Maybe final one here with Coach Jason Glasgow. Is this maybe, not to put words in your mouth, but is this maybe one of the more encouraging losses that you have been around since coming to this program in 22, was it?
Yeah, correct, 22.
Yeah.
I would say that yeah, but I don't think it's encouraging for a loss, because here's the thing, anytime that you get done with the game on Saturday, whether you win or lose, you're going to have things that you need to work on. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the main things I try to get to the handshake line, and when our guys get out, whether we win or lose, I always tell them, hey, we got to get ready to go back to work on Monday. Because it's such a short-lived sport. There's so much preparation that goes into football for one game that you can't be satisfied whether you win or lose. Yeah. Based on how you perform. It's about consistency. Every week you want to be playing your best game. And so, you know, I think that's the big thing is, yeah, we can be encouraged about that. And if we say, okay, yeah, we have this, let's say, whatever, you know, we win, we have a subliminal win because we played well against a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And
moral
if we're
victory.
Satisfied,
moral
yeah,
victory.
Moral victories. Thanks mm-hmm. for finding that word for me. But if we say that we're satisfied with that, we're missing the boat.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot bigger things that we're out here to accomplish, and that's going to require us going to work each and every day, each and every week, each and every situation. And that's kind of where we found ourselves in mentality-wise at the end of last year. And so it's like, how do we continue to build and grow off of not just this last game, but what we've been building since the end of last season, the last seven games? And it's that constant workman's mentality of always having something that we can get better at, improve at, regardless of the outcome. It's all about the process.
Well, good luck playing Yahtzee this Saturday morning, getting ready for the 6 o'clock game. Of course, I'm teasing. I know there's a lot of downtime, but a lot that goes into that, like you already talked about. So appreciate you doing this. Good luck on Saturday against Wayne State, and thanks for being a part of the program.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you guys for having me on here and everything that you guys do for Northern State and our athletic programs, and it's really awesome what you guys do.
It's our pleasure. Jason Glasgow joining us, Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll come on back and wrap up this Wolves Midweek after this. Final segment of your Wolves Midweek right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Couple, three great guests talking some Northern State volleyball and NSU football. Want to wish the best of luck to the NSU volleyball squad as they go out east. And I think we were talking about this yesterday on the air. They got a really wacky schedule. They're playing tomorrow at 5:30 at night against Lake Superior. And then they've got one against Quincy on Friday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then two on Saturday against Chadron and Upper Iowa. So it's kind of weird how that all worked out, but that's just the way it is there for the volleyball squad.
Yeah, I feel like we always have this conversation early on in the season with the volleyball squad and just how whack the schedule looks like. And they're never, it seems like they're never at home until mid-end September. It's weird.
Welcome home. It's December the 1st. Like the season's typically over by then, but nevertheless, it feels that way. But their first home match will be 2 weeks from yesterday against Jamestown. So looking forward to that. Again, kind of a sparse schedule for us here today on a Wednesday. There is some high school cross country, as you've got the Hoven Greyhound invite there with Falkton, Frederick, Harriet Selby, Highmore Herald, Leola, North Central, Mopo, Sully Buttes, and Sunshine Bible, and a very slight amount of some college volleyball, as well as Bellevue taking on Dakota State. A couple of top 25 teams tussling there down in the Omaha area. That's it for us and our time together here today. We're back at it on a Thirsty Thursday installment of the Sports Hub. That's tomorrow, FSA.